Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, it's your old pal Wilson, and we're bringing you the 12 Days of Richmas. Yeah, we went there. I'm sorry about that. These are the 12 most listened to episodes of 2023. Enjoy.
Insane in the membrane.
Morning, lads. How are we doing?
Hi, Rich. How are things?
Great. How are you, Rich?
Yeah, good. Thank you. Good. Good to see you. Welcome to Insane in the Membrane.
Thanks a million.
Nice to have you on board, lads. So where are you?
We are in Tipperary. County Tipperary in Ireland. That's where we are. Looking out a window at a nice rainy, snowy, sleety. We've had four seasons already and it's only 11 o'clock in the morning. So
I know, it's the same here. I just looked out the window and I'm like, it's just like, I don't know what's going on. It's just, it's like when you get ready in the morning, it's like there was no point in getting dry after the shower this morning. I just get dressed in the shower. I had to get the bus here as well. So that's always fun, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Here we go. Let's rock.
So what are you doing, lads? Are you over here next
yeah,
week?
Yeah, we're over in London next week. We've got a show in the Hackney Empire. So we're looking forward to that. So at the moment, we're just, preparing, I suppose. Or not preparing, whichever way you want to look at. I mean, I'm going to be honest. We're not prepared, but it'll be fine.
It's a live podcast. How much can you possibly prepare? You know what I mean?
Well, this is it. You can't, it's like with this. It's like, you've got a vague idea of what you're going to talk about, but it could go anywhere. And I think that's the beauty of these things.
Yeah.
Like podcasting is just, it's the Wild West. We can say what the fuck we like. We do what we want. I love it. I'm really excited.
It is. I feel like a podcast is like when your mate says, we'll go for one pint after work. That was the premise of the night out, but the actual night out was very different. You know, a podcast like that.
I love that. It's like this. This is so the jumping off point for our one is mental health, and it's getting, you know, especially men, you know, to open up about their issues and things that have been troubling them or things that they've gone through and then they've come out the other side. But it is. It's like you just hit the nail on the head. It's like two people just having a chat in a pub, like two mates that haven't seen each other for a while, and you're going, "How are you doing?" And you start chatting about, "Oh yeah, well, you know, it's a bit shit indoors, but it's this, that, and the other," you know. And this, but it goes anywhere you want to go, and I like that. And that's like, it is exactly like that. It's like a conversation in the pub. So, how long have you two been together doing this?
We started like the two Johnnies in 2016. Which feels like around 465 years ago, but it's almost been a lifetime together. We got less for murder, I said, but it's great. Like, yeah, we started in 2016 and we had no idea what we wanted to do. We kind of hosted a local fundraiser for like our GA club, which is like, you know, our Irish Gaelic Games. And they wanted some owl lad, you know, in the town who, like, you know, hosted the lovely girls competition. They were like, we'll give it to Jerry. He's a safe pair of hands. And we were like, no, fuck off. We've organized this. We're going MCing it. So, yeah, got matching suits. And we MC'd it and it went well. And everyone around town was like, the two of ye have something. And they were like, you got to do something. So we made a Facebook page and posted a Bruce Springsteen meme. And we were up and running. And that was it. We had no idea what we were going to do on this Facebook page.
And I tell you, Jerry has never forgiven us.
Yeah.
No, but he hasn't.
He had the tuxedo ready. He had the hair gel out.
Four occasions he's tried to headbutt me over the years. Yeah.
And he would kill you because his hair is rock solid. Yeah.
If it's even his hair.
Oh, it's all natural with Jerry, baby. Yeah, so then sketches. We just started doing sketches online and Snapchat and Instagram, and then we started the podcast just over 5 years ago. We had our fifth birthday recently. So,
oh, amazing! Yeah.
How long have you been going, Rich?
So this is our fourth year.
You sick of it yet?
Do you know what? I had a moment last year, and I just came into the studio, and I was, you know, you have those. He goes, "What's the fucking point? Is anyone listening to this? Everyone's got a podcast. No one gives a fuck." And then Paul went, "Oh, look at this," and he showed me some messages from people that listen.
Yeah.
And I'm like, listen, I need to be less of a prick about this. You just have a moment. You're like, your blood sugar levels are low. Whatever's happening at home is stressing you out.
Yeah.
And then it's just a moment. It was like my gigs as well, because I'm a comedian, and I was sort of like, felt like I was bashing my head against a brick wall doing that, kind of like, does anyone give a fuck? And then it kind of turned around. But now, you know, I love it. I love doing this. I get to meet brilliant people yourselves.
It's you funny know, like, though. There is times like that. Like, and ours is a weekly podcast as well, so it's like we've had mad things happen. I've gotten married. We've been on holidays. We've been abroad. We've been like. And it's just the constant is you got to get that podcast done. I would prioritize the podcast ahead of my wedding, which I have done. It's going to be interesting when the divorce comes true.
It's good content.
You have to put that. Yeah, that's it now. And you go, this is going to be good for the podcast. I got married last year in October, and I went on honeymoon in January. Just thank you, people. Thank you very much, lads. It was great. But the honeymoon, I had to make sure there was enough of these in the can, ready to go. I was like, get it all sorted out. And then while I was away, I'm like, I wonder what them numbers are. I hope they're all right. I was sitting there having a champagne dinner, and she's just like, everything all right? I went, I was just thinking about how great this is and how much I love you. And then getting paid, I'm like, I hope people are listening.
That's the podcast for you, yeah.
Just becomes everything, doesn't it? It is... You have to get past the point, because, you know, loads of people love this podcast. Mm. I know that. They always say that. And yours as well. Yours has blown up. And you have to remember that, because sometimes you just feel like I'm just sat in a cupboard having a chat. And I have to remember, this does go into people's ears, and they might not let you know, but they are there. And I still love doing it. But, yeah, I mean, you've got your two fellas together. You must just, are you together a lot, or is it just for the podcast?
We're together all the time. We go as the two Johnnies, and our podcast is the Two Johnnies Podcast. So there's us, our producer Maura, who's on mic all the time. The lads are on the office here. Neil, who will be Neil the intern for life, no matter how many years he's working with us. So we're together doing the podcast, and then we have a radio show as well. We do Drive Time here on the national radio station, 2FM.
Amazing.
That's a 3-hour show every day, 3 to 6. And then
Jesus,
we gig as well.
Yeah.
So it's busy. We're together all the time. We actually got a full-time studio office space this year, which we haven't.
Oh, that's serious.
We gathered up a load of mad shit to put in the walls, and it hasn't gone up yet. So you know that it doesn't feel...
Doesn't feel like home yet, but it's getting there.
No,
but we used to live together, Rich. That's kind of that's kind of how this happened. Like I moved to where Johnny's town is now, to Care in the lovely county of Tipperary, and
that's the name of the town, Care.
Because
mates of mine used to go to college and tell people, where do you live? Oh, I live in Care. And they're like, I'm sorry to hear that. It's like, no, it's beautiful. It's got a castle. It's got a park.
They thought you were living with some Franciscan monks or something, sort of the fucking hideaway.
Care home, man. I'm from Care.
We live together. So that's why it just works as a duo. Like, I think we know each other inside out. Like, and people are like, are you guys ever fucking apart? Because we have, we go on holidays together. Like, my honeymoon was honestly probably one of the first holidays he wasn't with me on. That's the longest we've been apart.
Did you have a chair at the dinner table for him? Just
I was on Riverside. Yeah. I was on Zoom. On a little tablet, my head at the table. It was like that scene from Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. They were around the table singing that I wasn't there. There's one more chair at the table. Where's Johnny B? Oh, no.
Yeah, my missus knows she's married two men.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. I mean, that's it. That's why you've got married, because they understand. They've got, I get this.
Yeah, she's got mine too.
I know it's part of it. Yeah. It's like my missus is a comedian as well, and she just gets it. She knows. She knows that when she looks across the room, she goes, "You're all right. What's happening?" And I'm thinking about something that got said to me 2 days ago, and I'm trying to work it into a bit.
Oh, man, I know. I'm so absent as well. The two of us find that a lot. Like, you're just... well, putting on the phone is a big one. And Johnny's actually gone off social media.
Yeah, like, for Lent. For Lent. I'm not whole. I'm not holy. Yeah. I'm just fucking sick of social media. for 40 days, yeah. 40 days. I've given it up so far.
How long has it been? Like a week, 2 weeks?
It's been 2 weeks now, yeah. I don't miss it at all.
Oh,
it's a nice...
Don't miss
it. It's a nice little cop-out as well. You know what I mean? If someone wants me to do some work online, I'm like, oh, well, I don't have social media.
I can't do it. I've given out for Lent.
Cut my workload by half.
But that's it, isn't it? It's a constant... Now it's a full-time job, just the social media.
Yes.
Like, when I go up in the morning, I now have to make time to go, right, I need to post on that. I need to post on that. I need to reply to that. I need to do that. Just people just need to... Because there's so much. People just need to see your... content just going across their eyes.
I think everyone in the entertainment industry, comedians and all, have like fear of missing out.
Mm.
And a lot of guys who are traditional stand-ups and are amazing at stand-up then look at somebody who like does cat videos and has 5 million TikTok followers all of a sudden, and then they do a live show and, you know, obviously stand-up isn't their thing. And then, like, we've had a lot of comedians on our podcast who feel like that they maybe took their eye off social media at the start.
Yeah.
And now we're like scrambling to get going, and it's coming back around. But I like, trying to do it all is impossible now. We're lucky that there's two of us. Honestly, I think that's why we took off so fast, is the simple fact that there was two of us.
Double workload.
Yeah, one is like, I'll do Facebook, you do Instagram. Yeah. Like one of us would have been wrecked.
Yeah.
And then we were lucky, and like the people around us, the guy who edits our podcast and our videos, he'd never done it before. He was just a mate who didn't like his job. And I was like, oh, you like recorded your own band. And so he kind of started on the journey with us. He was like, well, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'll give Photoshop a go and we'll make a thing. And we've all kind of grown together, you know? So it's been great like that. You know yourself, the most important thing is having good people around you who you can trust.
Oh, God.
Who will put you in a good mood. And, you know, like in a podcast, even if you're not prepared, I'd rather be unprepared and in good form than be prepared and be a fucking prick, you know, in a bad mood, like, you know. You got to watch your
energy. That's why I'm lucky, absolutely. I've got producer Paul, and like this, like I've said this a million times, this wouldn't go out if it wasn't for him. This would just be conversations on a laptop that would just be in a file and it would never go anywhere. and he keeps it going. And then if I haven't posted on social media for whatever reason, suddenly he sort of chips in and this post will appear. And I'm like, and he's like, just retweet this, you dickhead. And I'm like, all right, yeah, I'm on it.
I know, because...
So he keeps it on the tracks.
But as a comedian or a writer, you want to do that thing that's close to your heart, that's important to you. And for you, like, that's writing comedy and stand-up. And then, you know, funny tweets mightn't be what get you out of bed in the morning and get you going. Yeah. It can be hard to motivate yourself at times. Like, and then on social media, you got to watch what you say a bit more if you're... Well, that's been weird for us. We're on the radio now.
Yeah, right. So, so you've got to be really careful.
We can't curse, but it's great. Like, every caller we has curses, I think, to be honest.
Yeah, they make up for us. And then it's technically not our fault.
Yeah.
You said keep apologizing.
Oh, we'd be encouraging them. They'd be like, oh, I wore those fucking shoes. And we'd be like, oh.
We have people come up, when people come on here and they swear. And then they go, oh, can I swear? Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, you can say what you like. Do what you want. You know, I did have, there was one episode, we had Mark Steele on, comedian Mark Steele. And we were talking about teachers from when we were growing up. And I think the C-bomb, that was the most we've ever
done.
It
got dropped.
It was just decimated. The place is just completely cunted out. And you're going, all right, I don't know how good this is for people's mental health, but...
Yeah. We made that into a two-parter, there were so many cunts.
Oh, yeah, there were so many cunts, we had to do two parts.
But it's funny, like...
The first leg and the second leg.
That's like...
Yeah.
I think it's like, we definitely use the C-word here more affectionately than like... Like all of our friends, we'd say like, "Oh, he's a funny cunt." You know? It's rad. Yeah. Like, and then you, It's the way you say it, isn't it?
Yeah, like
yeah, it's a term of endearment.
Same
yeah.
in Australia, but like as we learned in America, they hate it.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's blasphemy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know watching because one of my this is the thing, most of the comics that I love have been Irish, like Tommy Tiernan, yeah. Dave Allen, Dylan Moran.
Yeah, it didn't work so good.
You know, all those people, like watching them, and they've all said the same thing. They said, like, oh, yeah, oh, you little cunt. And it's just, it's fucking, oh, I love that. Whereas my accent just sounds like I'm kicking off. just in general conversation. Like, I've said this before. Like, I'll say it's like, do you want a bit of toast? People are like, all right, mate, can you chill out?
Is that a euphemism for like me kicking the shit out of you or something?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't shut smash up, your teeth. I'll give you a bit of toast.
See, that's what I mean. You can make anything sound aggressive.
we were gigging in America, and like the guy who was running the venue came up and was like, he's Irish as well, obviously. You know, we're all big clan of
we're
us.
Tight.
And he comes up and was like, say whatever you want now, lads. I don't give a shite. But if you say the C word, I'm cutting you off. And that was it. Like,
wow.
Because there was American lads in the bar, they'd have fucking freaked out, yeah. Like,
yeah. Well, there is that bit where I was watching Patrick Swayze film the other day, Roadhouse.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a classic film. There's a bit where Patrick Swayze is talking to all the doormen. And he just says, like, I want you to be nice.
Yeah.
If this happens, just be nice. And then this one guy goes, yeah, but what if he calls my mum a whore, whatever it is? And he goes, well, just be nice. He goes, well, is she?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, like, and that's the thing, like, in America, they're a bit like, you called my mother a blah, and you're like, yeah, but is she? If she isn't, it doesn't matter, does it? It's just words, mate. Chill out.
And if she is, well, it's just the truth then.
Yeah, exactly. So either way, shut the fuck up.
But man, American stand-up comedy is ruthless, like, because this place is so polarized. If you go to a comedy club in New York, they will open with like material about school shootings and racism.
Whereas
in Ireland, it's much more softer. I think lads are like, you know, so I went to the shop. You know, I fell over.
I think. When I was in America, and there was a lot of stuff that I think in the UK would have been deemed as like properly racist.
Yeah,
like you just said, it's like you're going like fuck. I mean, it's, you know, they're dealing with stereotypes a lot of the time, but you sort of sit there going, fuck, you couldn't say this.
Yeah.
In the UK, they would never speak to you again. You'd never work again.
The real C-bomb cancellation. Yeah.
Which is what everyone's worried about now as well, aren't they? I mean, the people that I see that wang on about being cancelled, you go, well, no, you're just being a dickhead. It's almost like, I don't know, the people, we've got this thing at the minute where people worry about the people that go on about being cancelled seem to still be able to talk about it and tell everyone about it. And, you know, you're like, hang on, I've just seen you on all of the platforms talking about
this. Yeah, you're not that cancelled.
I don't know how cancelled you think you are.
Look, if people are coming at you, most of the time, you just put down your phone for a couple of days and it goes away, to be honest.
Yeah, somebody said that. It could have been actually Tommy. I think, didn't he say, I think we had Tommy on our podcast, Tommy Tiernan, and he was like,
brilliant.
Where are you getting cancelled? Like, they're not at your fucking door.
Yeah.
He was like, they don't know where you live. You're not really, like, you know, and it was a fair point then. It was like, yeah, shit, like, you know, it's not like they're going to be, like, waiting outside your front door to fucking...
I like that Dave Chappelle had that bit about he said he got offered a sneaker deal and he never took it because he said, then they have you. If they give you like, you know, like Tiger Woods, like if someone says, Dave Chappelle, we give you $10 million, do a sneaker deal. Then if you get in trouble, Nike are like, we're pulling the $10
million.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's like, you don't really need $10 million. He's already rich. Like, so.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd take $10 million. I'm
going to
be honest.
But then that's the deal you make, is that you got to watch yourself then, because the sponsor, you know, they have something on you.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So you can be poor and free.
Well, I think it's the same with this one. We've had a bit of interest now and again, and then they listen to it and they can't really get past it. Quite like we've already discussed, the language. They can't really get past it, and you're like, they're like, oh well, it's not, you haven't, it's like, no, we are talking about mental health. The stories we're talking about, it all goes towards helping people improve their mental health. But we're gonna, you know, but swearing is all part of that, you know. Swearing, I don't know what people do who don't swear. Like, how do you express yourself when someone's when something's happened? Fiddlesticks doesn't cut it.
Yeah.
It's like they say, you know, you kind of, it's hard to trust somebody who doesn't swear. You feel like they're not, they're holding back on you
every time.
Yeah, they're serial killers.
Exactly. Anyone who's like that, and they just have this, they have this weird look in their eye. Where they go, oh no, I don't swear, I don't curse, I don't do this. And you go, well, I don't know what you do when you bash your toe.
Yeah.
I don't know what you, or when you cut your finger or whatever you do. A good fuck.
You'll feel better after. Oh, just, you'll feel better after.
Yeah.
Strangely, I'd love to hear those people having sex. Delightful.
It was like in Family Guy, wasn't it? It said there was British people having sex. And almost, almost.
Oh, shit.
I have arrived. And I think that this is the thing, what I love about the Irish, and I mean, all Gaelic people in general, like the Scots and everybody, just have a bit more, they seem to be a bit more chilled out when it comes to things. Whereas the Brits, we're too uptight. We're too, oh, now it's stiff upper lip and clutching your pearls and. I said this the other day. I said, I was at a gig and I said, look, you lot pretending that you're all posh and that, sitting there clutching your pearls, when tonight those same pearls will be shoved up your arse. You're full of shit. Well, you're full of
shit. I think Irish people and maybe Scottish people are less polite and more friendly.
Yes.
Like, thing here in Ireland is everybody talks to everybody like they know them. Which is the exact opposite of, we were talking about America because we were in America for a month in the summer filming.
Yeah.
And in Ireland, like, if you go to a shop and the guy behind the counter, you would just say to, well, how's it going? Like you know them.
Yeah.
And the same if you meet famous people in Ireland, Irish people are very much like, well, how are you getting on? Oh, it's yourself. Like, even people who are big fans of us would meet us, and it's like they know us all their lives. It's and all the time I go away from interactions with people been like, fuck, do I know him?
Yeah.
Because they're so...
It's just a manner of speak, yeah. Like,
familiarism.
Yeah. I've been out with my friends, like, you know, who, like, you know, don't work in this industry or anything like that, and we'd be out, like, somewhere in a pub or something. Some lad would come up and be like, well, Jed, hey, come here, I'll tell you. And he'd start into full conversation with me, and I could have a full conversation with him for 3-4 minutes, and then he'd be like, I'll catch you again. Be like, yeah, no bother. And then one of the boys be like, who was that? I'd be like, how the fuck do I know? Yeah. So I mean, they were like, you were talking to him like you know, and I was like, yeah, well, because of the podcast, I guess, and because of listening to us every week for 5 years, they probably do know. Like, people will come up to us on a night out and be like, Jesus, like, how's your infected toenail? I'd be like, how the fuck do you know that? And then it's like, oh shit, I said that on the podcast. Like, I reckon there's people out there know more about us than we know about ourselves, because I'll say something on the podcast and I'll have no recollection of having ever said it. Like, I'll say, when that mic's on, I'll say anything.
My mother says that's why she listens to our podcast, so that she knows what we're up to. Because otherwise I don't tell her where I'm going or what I'm doing.
But you want it, when you're on your podcast, just, everything just comes pouring out.
Everything.
Just chatting away. Yeah. I think as well, I was talking to my wife this morning about this, and I was saying that I think a lot of the issues with British people, and I'm not being down on us, you know, there's good bits, of course there are, but the people that are in charge of us, they've got the blood in their veins of the people that were the ones that went around the world, like, just robbing everybody, stealing everything, apparently discovering new lands, you know. And then, I like Tommy T, and he said, he goes, and then getting the ump when those people followed you home. And that's the thing, they've got that in them, that horrible, shitty thing in their veins where they're just taking from everyone, just take from everybody. And so when, I think that's why there's a lot of, like, British people that higher up, like the upper classes, they always seem like they're up to something. Well, you know,
also, I think the accent is big. Like, you to me have, like, an everyman accent.
Yeah.
Whereas I'd love to hear a British Prime Minister who talked
normal, not like Roma.
You know?
Yeah. That's what you need. That's what we need. People in government that have been skinned.
Yeah.
People that, you know, you need someone that, like, was signing on when he was 19.
Yeah. 100%.
And has now worked his way up.
You'd love to know how you work your way up from on social at 16 to, like. You mean,
that's a Netflix,
now you're running the place.
Netflix documentary.
Yeah.
How to be Prime Minister. Meet Jim. He's on the social. He's got 12 kids. He's fucked everyone on the street. Now he's about to fuck the whole country.
Just he's sitting there in a tracksuit.
He's got a pair of kappas on him, yeah. And a Burberry hat.
I've done well for me. Done well for me. Oh, yeah, Burberry. It'd be Burberry in Stone Island. The boy's done good.
I think, like...
Leeds, would you miss it if it was gone?
I think what stands to, like, a lot of Irish people, and maybe some of the Scots as well, is that they don't live in cities. Like, we don't live in a city. Like, yeah. We live in the country.
Mm.
And, like, when me and Johnny got our radio show up and going, for the first 3 months, we lived in Dublin. And though it's just 2 hours up the road to us, I went to go to the gym one day, got in the car, drove to the gym like I would at home here. And then the gym doesn't have any car parking spaces because it's a fucking city. Where's the car park for this gym? Like, so I drove around for 10 minutes and ended up going down the wrong way down a one-way street. I got so stressed out, I went and got like a breakfast baguette and went back home. And I was like, you know what? Fuck the gym. It wasn't meant for me anyway.
It's true, man.
Like, I think living in the country, you're just
so much easier.
Get in the car and you just, like, you don't even, parking doesn't even come into it. Like, I was on a stag in London. Oh, man, most stressful 2 days. Like, I don't think
that's why we go to Dublin.
Yeah, like, you know, like when you're pissed, I don't think the tube is the best destination for you.
The tube is kind of scary to Irish people anyway. We don't have an underground in England, in Ireland, you know.
I got back from the stag and people were like, well, what was London like for the stag? I was like, I'm going to be honest. I say 70% of it was spent on a fucking train. So I couldn't believe it. Like, here it's just like, just get in the car.
That's the lies. Train is like, you know, a strip club. We were on public transport.
If I say it enough, someone will believe it.
That's terrible.
Cost us a fortune. We were underground for ages.
You know, a train's £100 for 10 minutes.
One trip. £100, one trip. Bottle of vodka was
the ticket inspector. Yeah. The ticket inspector kept coming up and asking me for more money. Yeah, and she
whipping me.
She wouldn't leave me alone.
Drinks carriage, rip off. One bottle of Grey Goose, £200.
The buffet car.
Oh shit!
But that's why we go to Dublin. That's why we go out. That's why we go to Prague. That's why.
Have you been out in Dublin, Rich?
I have. Yeah,
it's a good spot.
Yeah. I love Ireland. Yeah. I went to a wedding. Oh man, up near Donegal.
Oh yeah.
And they're in this little village. There was no street lights. And we just ended up in the street just paralytic. And then people are going, oh, we're going around Jim's house. And we're like, who's Jim? And we just go around Jim's and Jim's like, I was waiting for you. Like a whole wedding party just piles in.
It's wild, man. Yeah, you never know where you're gonna end up. Like we went to Liverpool on my stag. And it was ideal because it's so easily laid out. All the pubs are basically in one fucking area. So it was manic. A lot of trains there as well.
So many trains. But I think because obviously people came from Ireland to Liverpool, so that's why it's kind of got the same sort of vibe.
That Scouse humour as well is quite normal to us.
Everyone's a comedian. Everyone in Ireland, everyone in Liverpool. This is why gigging in Liverpool, they're fine. If you're funny, they'll accept you. But if you're shit, fuck me, do they let you know? They're going to chuck you in the Mersey. You're done.
I remember Tony Bellew, the boxer, said that. He said, in Liverpool, you've got to be funny or you've got to be able to fight. Preferably both.
Yeah. It's a good place. As I say, Ireland's a beautiful place. The doors... People's doors are just open, it seems. Mm. I mean, I imagine it's not like that everywhere, but it just seemed a bit more like, come and have a drink in here and just, come and do this.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems to be more, sociable.
It is, especially in small, I guess any small town is like that, though, too. The English countryside would be slower pace of life, friendlier as well. But Ireland has those untouched, rare spots, as we'd call them. You go into the local pub and there's some lad and his... he has no pants on, and they're like, oh, that's old Mick, he doesn't wear pants, leave him alone, he's fine. Do you know, we kind of,
he's not hurting anyone,
remind him. Yeah, you know,
we definitely,
Mick, cover yourself up, mate, we've got visitors.
Mick doesn't like outsiders because he's got to put his pants on.
Me get dressed again.
That's coming in from the big town that's 3 minutes away.
Yeah. I find I loved Ireland. I loved it, and I, you know, the times I've been there, it's been a beautiful place.
Yeah, it has areas like Liverpool, like for us, like we're in Tipperary and we're maybe an hour from Cork. But I find like when we do shows in Cork, they're definitely the ones you're going to have to bring your A game for, because they're fully convinced they're all comedians.
Yeah, Cork God, City.
Yeah.
4,000 of them looking at you going, "Go on to fuck, I dare you." You know, so trying to guess your punchlines.
Yeah. Is that all you got? Yeah. Is that it? you two have been mates for a long time, and growing up, now the conversation surrounding mental health. He's everywhere, and that's what we want. Do you find it easy to talk about your feelings and what's going on?
I think we both have a very different approach to it. We haven't gone like a political party and taken like a unilateral approach. We're both very much ourselves.
Yeah.
You're more open than I am, for sure.
Yeah, I'm probably hard on the sleeve. Like, if I'm in bad form, I'll come into the office and tell everybody. You know the way people are like, it's good to talk. Like, I take the piss. You know what I mean?
It's good to show up the odd time, too.
So, all right, we get it.
No, but that's right. You're healthier for it.
Yeah, I'm probably better for it. Like, because I, like, if my mental health is bad, people will know, because they'll know by my face, they'll know by the way I walk, they'll know by the form I'm in. Yeah. So they'll be like, fucking something's up with him, I better ask him. And then they ask me and they're like, oh man, I wish I didn't ask him. But like, we've both been open on our own podcast, where we've said, like, we've both got counselling over the years, like, you know, in and out, like, you know, whenever we've needed it. Because like, the way we looked at it was, we both play sports, we still play a little bit, but if there's something wrong with my knee, I'd go to a physio. So if there's something wrong with my brain, I'll go to a counselor or a psychologist or you know, whatever it is. And you want to get better. Like, the great, like in this game, you always kind of have to be putting your best side out. You always kind of have to be on top form, like we spoke about. So in order to try and maintain that high form, you got to go and get yourself looked after. You got to go and chat to a professional if you need to. You know what I mean? But chatting about it, I think it's been good in Ireland. I think in the last 5 years, we've made massive strides. Lots of people are more open about it and more accepting of it as well. So, like, and it's funny, like, I know myself from having worked normal jobs. When I heard, like, famous people going, like, oh, you know, I'm suffering, or I'd be like, fuck off, you're rich and you've got a massive car, like. Yeah. And then, like, you know, now that we're doing the job we're doing, and thank God we're successful or whatever, like, but it's not about, you know, I soon figured out it's not about a car, it's not about a few bob or whatever, but like, everyone has their problems. I reckon everybody at some point or another has a problem. It's whether what you do after that.
Rich, Ireland has been on a kind of a weird journey where, you know, we had the Catholic Church, and Ireland was a very inward looking.
Oppressed.
All through like 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s in Ireland. And then we had kind of the economic boom, as we call it, the Celtic Tiger, from the late 90s. Well, Ireland, you know, the Celtic Tiger was invented by Jack Charlton in the year 1990. Ireland did well at the World Cup and never looked back, you know. So the Celtic Tiger, from up to about 2008, 2009, it was like everybody got bootcut jeans, new shoes, did drugs and bought an apartment in Budapest, right? And then big crash. And I feel like the next generation, as Johnny said, over the last 5-6 years, Ireland has kind of reinvented itself. And for men who in our parents' age would have been very much the hard man, say nothing. And then even again, once Ireland started opening up and got money, I think everybody went a bit crazy. And it was very much kind of a showy off. Lads fucking buying jet skis when they were, you know, 100 miles from water. and then now I think Ireland, like any country getting its independence, I think we were teenagers and Ireland is kind of finally becoming an adult, and it's much more easier for our friends. And now I'm 36, I'm older than Johnny, like, but if we still play sports, and you've got guys in your team who are 18, 19 running rings around you, but they instantly become your equal, they become your friend. And from palling around with younger generations, they'd be much more open about saying little laugh on comments like, oh, I'd have to go to the gym now or I'd be bad for the head. And when I came onto the team at 18, 19, no one was saying that. There was still kind of like, you know, like slagging was hard, and anybody who showed any weakness was cut down. And, you know, words like gay were thrown around as an insult for somebody if they used air gel. you know.
Yeah.
But that's
but
now I'm still one of the oldest on the team now, and I see it with the younger generation. That's gone. And for the better. And lads are
there's still banter, but it's not as you know, it's not that
cutting, it's not harsh. You know what I mean?
I think like as well, like it's mad now, like Johnny said there, like you'd hear what used to be was like say the 90s, early noughties, people would like you know, be the big man, be like, I'm fucking grand, it's not wrong with me. Drink themselves to death at the weekend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Being like, I'll find the answer. It might be in this pint, but it'll fucking be in one of them.
And it's in the bum of one of these.
Yeah, like a scratch card.
Yeah. You floor and keep flooring. And then, like, by a while, you actually forget what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Because you're numb. You know what I mean? So that would have been the approach. And, like, I've heard, like, my friends often say to me, I'm not going out this weekend now because, like, you know, I'm going to get my head right first before I want to be in good form going out. You know, like, so they'll be staying on. And, like, that's a great way to be. And I think that's from people talking about and people raising awareness about. So it all helps.
Yeah. I mean, I've said this before, but we might not necessarily reap the benefits of this, but the next generation will.
Yeah.
And like you already said, you're already seeing it. Like the younger people are already making those changes. They're already benefiting from that.
Yeah, so I think that's one of the great beautiful benefits of sport. And I don't know what it's like there are, as we call it, the GAA, the Gaelic Athletics Association, playing Gaelic football and stuff, is the easiest way for men to be friends and to meet new people. And otherwise, you're kind of friends with the guys you were friends with when you left school. And all your friends are maybe your age. And if you don't work in a place where there's new blood coming in, your friendship circle can get stale and you find yourself almost living in that echo chamber or looking online. And as we've said, like Twitter and all that is bullshit to me. So this is a great way that we can go down and we're equals with people who are 50, 60, 70 years of age. My dad's on the committee. I can have a good row with him and we'll all shake hands. And then you also have to listen to the opinions of 17, 18-year-olds. So that's when I went to therapy, when I went to counseling, the first meeting, that was the only thing I took away from it. She was like, stay playing sport. She said, it seems to matter to you. She's like, I swear to God, maybe she wasn't a great counselor, but that was the one. That was the one bit. Maybe I'm a terrible patient.
She was from one of the other teams. She was like, stay playing. Stay playing.
Stay playing.
Yeah.
We need you on their team. Yeah.
That was the one thing I took from it anyway.
That's it. It's great. Like, in luxury.
But that's how men talk to each other. When it was the actor, Michael Smiley, who was one of the first guests on here. I've known Michael many years. And I remember chatting to him and I said, I'm having some trouble with my youngest son. And he said, take him out and just like throw a ball around or go and get a bag of chips and, you know, go and look at the ducks. And then go out. He goes, because that's men doing something else whilst they're with each other will then open up. And that's it. We can't, if you were to say to a lot of men, right, going to sit you down and you're going to talk to each other about what's going on and your feelings and your this. Men would be like, oh, this is fucking weird. But give them open the bonnet of a car and go, right, what's wrong with this? And then they'll go, all right. And then they start again. How's the missus? Oh, yeah, she's all right. You know, we're having a bit future. And that's, so that was, you know, that's why things are opening up now where they call like men's sheds, where they go to the shed and they fix a lawnmower. And while they're doing that, they're talking about what's going on at home and things like that. And that's what men need. So sport especially is a beautiful thing for that. Like going to see the sport. And then, you know, when it's half time and the lads are standing around having a pint and a pie, and that's when the conversation starts again. You know, like, oh, yeah, fucking God, kids are doing me edit. That sort of thing. You know, you do need that. You know, I recognise that definitely, you know. And I think, if there's something that keeps you feeling alive as well, something that you're passionate about, you fucking need that.
It's funny now, as we're getting older, we're like playing just on the B team or on the second team, but that bit that's in men to be competitive and to look for that extra inch and try and make your local first team, even though it's not a great standard or whatever, but that's good to test yourself like that and to, you know, to have that in you to look for those extra bits. I won't go out now, or I'll go to the gym, or I'll mind myself. To be part of a group where you're accountable but also encouraged, I think there's a lot in that, you know?
Absolutely. We play, so on a Tuesday, we play comedians football and the standard's not great. A few people, are, you know, they've got a bit about them, but we just turn up and everyone, it's like a, everyone, it's like an unsaid sort of rule. There's no kind of, there's no sort of, no one talks about work. No one talks about gigs. It's not about networking. It's just about turning up, booting the ball around, having a good time, trying to see you can do a bicycle kick, you know, trying to, you know, everyone wants to be Pelé. Everyone's trying to do so, and that's what it's all about. And it's such a laugh. And you come away and it's just a nice, you know, you've come out of your, you know, you've come away from like the this, like having to do social media and comedy for a bit. You just got to have a laugh with your mates, kick the football around, take the piss. The banter's there. I mean, because I used to be a bus driver, so I'm always getting shit about that.
Pack the bus.
What time's the bus? Yeah. What time's the bus turning up? Oh, didn't you? It's just fucking relentless. But and that's the other thing as well. If they're not, if they don't take the piss out of you, it means they don't like you.
Yeah. You know exactly. What I mean? Yeah, it's more like that's another. It's more affection. It's like take the piss.
Yeah,
like that. Like that's why we love it. Like we can be doing what we'd be doing, and we could, you know, we could, our television show like it could come out on a Monday night or something like that. And we'd be down training. No one gives a fuck.
Yeah.
No one's going to us. Oh, you're like, you know, the young lads just treat us like anybody else, which is great for us and always have. And that's, listen, that's definitely good for us.
Yeah. And did you come away from counselling thinking, I mean, the first time you went, did it feel good? Did it feel better?
I was going for a bit and then work got really busy and I couldn't go. of course, I've done that twice. But the second time, I got some really pointed, specific advice on what was happening then. And it really stuck to me. Yeah. I don't want to get into it too much, but I had a specific thing on my mind and he just kind of told me to let it go. And he explained it and I was like, yeah, grand, okay, I'll let it go. And then, like, as things were blowing up for us here in Ireland, getting recognised and stuff, it's weird, you know? Yeah. And I remember saying, I don't know if I'm getting like some sort of social anxiety or something. I feel if I walk into a cafe or a bar, I feel like everyone is looking at me. And he said, yeah, they probably are. He's like, you know, get over it. He's like, that's not social anxiety. If you were properly anxious, you wouldn't be going in there at all. He's like, you just feel a bit weird because people are looking at you, but they are. Get over it.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's the best. Because I remember we were in a bar one day in Dublin and Brendan O'Connor, this guy, he's a TV presenter and radio journalist over here. He came into a bar and everyone looked and was like, oh my God, it's your man off the radio, you know. And I remember thinking, that must be fair weird for him. And then, sure, he doesn't give a shit. And then, like, after going to therapy and all, and then I suppose we had lockdown where we met nobody for a year. But now I really don't give a shit about any of that. You just, for anyone in life, you remember what your values are and what's important. And like getting recognized on the street doesn't matter. After this, we're going to record our podcast and that needs to be good. We need to be prepped for that because we love that. That's our baby. We want to mind.
Yeah.
And when we go to make, we release songs as well. Like working on a new song. That's what our blood, sweat and tears goes into. And that's what matters. Like popularity will come and go. So you can't put too much importance on popularity. You just got to speak your own truth. And at the end of the day or on your deathbed or whatever, be able to say, well, look, we stuck to our guns rather than we chased popularity, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I find with therapy, like, it's a bit like, if you look at your brain like a house, and if you keep filling your house up with, like, loads of fucking little, you know, bits you've bought in a shop and lamps and fucking clutter it, then every so often you'll have to, like, gather up some of that shit you don't use and get rid of it. And that's exactly what therapy is to me. I go in, I get a few answers to what I need, you know, to the questions I have and what's going on. And then I declutter the rest and fuck it out. And then I'm good for another while. You know, that's kind of, it's like spring cleaning for my brain.
This is You've it. Got Sometimes you just got
earrings you bought in Andrade.
You just got to empty your house out and then look at what you've got. And that's the thing about therapy. You basically, you've got someone helping you empty your house, like you've just said. And then they go, right. A lot of this is shit, and you don't, like you said it brilliantly when you said, you said, like, you know, you learned to let go of some stuff. You know, that's thinking. So there's stuff in there. You go, why am I hanging on to that? What's that for? You go, you don't need that anymore. That's a load of old shit. It's a Rubik's Cube. No one uses it anymore. Get
rid of that. Only for YouTube videos.
Yeah. Yeah. Why have you got that? You can't even do it. You never can do it. Get rid of it.
Get it out of the house.
Yeah. Get it out of the house. And then they help you put the stuff back in that you need, you know, and it's all tidy again. And it's a nice place to be. And I think that's the thing, you know, there's a lot of stuff that you have to let go, like worrying about something you said in, whenever, like 1994, and you go, that person doesn't even remember meeting you. there's a vague recollection of you. Either they thought you're a dickhead or they liked you, but they're not worrying about the thing you said. They're not, you know, let it go, mate. Or, you know, stuff that happened in your childhood, maybe you had a tough time with your parents, things like that. You go, well, that was then, wasn't it? Mm. I can't change it. Yeah. I've just got to make sure that, you know, if I've got kids or make sure I'm decent to my family and the people around me that love me. That's all you can do, really, rather than we spend too much time worrying about what's gone before.
Yeah.
And stuff you can't, it's happened. And I learned that the hard way. I was lugging stuff around for years. And it's only been in the last couple of years I've gone, what the fuck? I haven't got long left. I'm 51. I ain't got time to lug this shit about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's going to get to the point. I've got stuff in this bag. I don't even know why I've got the bag. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. I'm like,
let it go.
Get a skip it out.
Fuck it off. Yeah. Get a skip and fuck it off. That's going to be the tag for this episode.
That's a mantra to live by. Get a skip and fuck it out. Done with it.
Yeah. Don't dump it on the side of the road.
Yeah.
No. Fly tipping. Don't be doing that.
Dump in the skip.
And get the council to take it away. Yeah.
Keep them busy.
Yeah. It's a circle of life. It's a circle of life.
That's how it all works.
But it's important. Like, I'm glad that now what's happening in this country, sports personalities are coming out and actually talking about their mental health. Because I think that was still the last place that needed a bit of work was like people that are into soccer and things like that. You know, there was still an element of, you know, if you showed any sign of weakness, you'd be called gay and, you know, that, and being gay is still something that is still, we're only now having footballers coming out and saying that, you know, being honest about their sexuality because they felt they couldn't before. Mm. So it is starting to happen. Tyson Fury talking about his feelings and Ricky Hatton. And this is what needs to happen. And I imagine it's the same thing that's happening in Ireland, is it?
Yeah. That's it. Like, I think that's the last great place to be broken in terms of like, you know, something like, cause the dressing room is such a fucking, you know, if your knee's hurting you, strap it up. Let's get on with it. You'd be good. Yeah. You know, whereas like, I think it is, and we are definitely getting to that stage where sports people are coming out and saying, you know what, like, yeah, I'm not fucking feeling great. I'm going to get sorted. Like, and they have to, like, listen, they're just normal people. They're just doing different jobs. You know what I mean? Like, a professional rugby player still has two legs, two arms, and a brain. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's the same as someone who's working in computers. They're the same. So,
yeah.
Don't matter if you're the greatest rugby player in Ireland, the best soccer player in Ireland, or you're working in computers. Sometimes the brain is just pulling against you.
Yeah,
you got.
And like you said as well earlier, you don't. You know, you could be surrounded by all the money in the world, but that's not the thing. It doesn't matter, does it? It just. I know. I mean, I haven't got a pot to piss in, but I have days where I'm like, it's fucking great, man. My wife's brilliant. My kids are cool. They've grown up to be top lads. You know, you have to kind of remember that. You go, all right. I can't afford a pint today, but the lads are good. Everything's fine.
Yeah,
you know,
you got your priorities right.
Yeah, that's it. That comes with time.
Because you can let little things get into you. Like, I'd have days where I'd be like, fucking driving up here to do this. Like, you know, to like, not to, like, I could be driving to film something like that. And I'd be like, what's the fuck? And then I'd be like, man, I used to work in a bacon factory, like, you know, taking spinal cords out of pigs. Fucking, you know, cop on to yourself, man. Things are good, you know. So you do need, as much as you do need, you know, to keep your mental health right and see a psychiatrist or psychologist, whoever it is you're going to, sometimes you do just need a fucking kick in the arse too.
Or a wobble. There's an element of that, You do need someone, I've said it to myself out loud. I've just been like, for fuck's sake, stop being a dick. Yeah. Just get on with it.
Yeah.
It's just like today when I was stood in the rain waiting for the bus and I'm just stood there, it's freezing cold. And then the bus turned up and it was full of people and I was like, fuck me. Why am I doing this?
Yeah.
And then you go, because people like listening to this. You're in a very privileged position where you're not, like you've just said, I'm not working in a butcher shop anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know, I remember standing in a butcher shop when I used to work, and it was so cold in there that the head butcher was putting out the window, and he found the tip of a finger in the meat.
Yeah, yeah.
And he made us all stand up with our hands out so he could see to check if it was one of us. It was that cold, we wouldn't have noticed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Whose was it?
It was somewhere, it was a bag of meat that had been sent down from the supplier, and it was obviously just in there.
Well, we,
so some fuckers just lost it.
We appreciate you getting on the bus in the rain to come talk to us, Rich.
Yeah.
Thank you. We feel very privileged.
I'm glad that we could do this. I mean, you're top boys, and I love getting to meet people like yourselves. That just because I'm now fired up.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You've got such great energy, you know. And that's why people dig what you do, because it's infectious. That kind of that happiness, that fucking get on with it. You know,
well, it's just their whole life has been given a go.
Yeah,
like we have no training in that, and we do get up, give it a go, and sometimes it's shit, but you learn. And it's not, you don't worry about it as long as you're working on it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it's like this. I'm not trained to interview people. I just fell into it having done I was a guest on someone else's podcast. And then it just became this. And then I want people to be more open about, you know, about what's going on with them, because I've lost people, you know, that they just thought they couldn't handle it anymore. And I don't want that to happen. Yeah. So that's why I have these conversations. And people like you that are in the public eye, listening to you talk about it, people go, oh, fuck, it's them too. Everyone goes through it.
Yeah.
It's a really important thing that you're doing, just to have this chat. Even now, even though we've just taken a piss and we've just had a laugh, people are going to hear that and go, fuck yeah, even the two Johnnies have some shit to deal with. Yeah, you know, that's how we make changes.
And that's it. Look, if it helps someone, one person, and you know, that's great, then it's job done.
Well, we appreciate you having us on, Rich.
Listen, it's been my pleasure, absolute pleasure. So you're doing it at Hackney Empire.
Yeah, 16th of March.
16th of March, that's coming out. That's a great venue to be doing it as well. Have you been there before?
No, I'm delighted now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it looks lovely. Because it was originally fixed for Brixton, but obviously with everything that's gone on, we moved it to the Hackney Empire, and it looks gorgeous. Like all the people we admire, like, you know, comics and bands and stuff over the years have done it, so it's great to be doing it, and we're buzzing for it.
Yeah. Honestly, you wait till you get there, it's next level. It's just, it's like two or three floors.
Oh, lovely.
And it's this old theatre. Mm. And like you say, everyone's played there. And having been on that stage, it'll blow your mind. Yeah. And then you think, fuck, I used to work in a bacon factory.
Yeah.
I'll be
giving myself a right fucking kick in the arse just before the show. Make sure I'm awake.
But that's it, lads. You're going to have that moment, I imagine. I don't know how many live ones you've done before.
Yeah.
I've been doing comedy 20 years. So I'm sort of used to it now. But there is still that, when it's a big venue like that, like I did the Palladium a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah.
For something else. And I was visibly shaking before I went on. I'm like, fuck, this is massive. I don't know how I can handle this. But then you give it, then I have to do that. I go, I'm not driving a van anymore. I'm not delivering beds.
Mm.
I'm not, you know, I've got all my fingers. I'm not working in the butchers anymore. So,
but that's it. Like,
I get to dick around.
And what's the worst that can happen? You still get to go home and go to bed. Stuff. Do you know what I mean? You know, it's just like, what about it?
We're lucky.
Exactly. And where can we find you online, lads?
Yeah, if people want to check us out. We have our podcast. It's exclusively on Spotify. It comes out every Monday. That's the Two Johnnies podcast. And you'll get the Two Johnnies. And it's the number two, not T-W-O. It's the digit two.
Yeah.
We're on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. We're everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Honestly, lads, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks, Rich.
Good luck with the show. I'm sure you'll smash
it. Thanks a million, Rich.
You're welcome to come down if you're around on the night. We'll put you on the door.
Oh, yeah. I'll come down. That'd be great. Yeah.
Brilliant. Appreciate it.
Cheers, boys. Cheers, Rich.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Insane in the membrane.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Made by darkhorsedigital.co.uk. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.